ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
ज्ञान विज्ञान चुप्तात्मा कुटस्थो विजितेन्द्रियः युक्त इत्युच्यते योगी समलोष्टास्म कांचनः। As a result of knowledge and realized knowledge, a devotee should be detached from everything material. Yesterday we were discussing how the functions of the mind are to accept or reject. One who is in Krishna conscious does not accept or reject anything on the basis of sense gratification. Because vijitendriya, this word is used here, his senses are fully controlled. Therefore, to him, gold and a clod of earth appear to be of the same value. What's the translation given here? Aloshya? However, a devotee is detached from everything material but firmly attached to Krishna. So, although for his own sense gratification he's not attracted to stone or gold, but he will accept, he'll be enthusiastic to accept the gold to use it in Krishna's service. But for himself, he has no interest in such things. One time a devotee who was, he was doing business in precious stones, and he brought a necklace of worth many hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he placed it, he said, Prabhupada, I'm going to sell this today. And he just placed it on Prabhupada, on his neck. I don't know if he said, I'm selling it today. Anyway, he was doing business with it. He placed it on Srila Prabhupada's neck. Yeah, he was doing this as a business. So Prabhupada wore it for some time and they were discussing so many different things. After some time, Prabhupada took it off and said, you take it and sell it. So this detachment from the material world is the sign of an advanced transcendentalist. In the next verse, this is, in this verse which we're discussing, this has been discussed in relationship to material objects. And in the next verse, Lord Krishna describes how a transcendentally situated person is also not involved in mundane relationships. Surin mitra yudasena madhyastha dvesha bandhushu sadhu shvaki chapapeshu samabuddhiya vishishyate. Give the translation. Someone who is acting favorably to him, surin mitra yudahi, he is, or someone who's not acting favorably toward him, he's neutral in his relationship with both of them. And he sees the sadhu and the sinner in the same way. How is that? Means that he sees them both as part and parcel of Krishna. It's said that every saint has a past and every sinner has a future. In other words, every saint in the past, previously they weren't a saint. Although in our Vaishnava tradition we have persons who were saintly from birth, there are others like Bilva Mangal Thakur who at least externally exhibited some unsaintly behavior. And a devotee, he sees a sinful person, he sees, well, he can also become a devotee. Famous incident, Srila Prabhupada lecturing on the Bowery, Lower East Side, the very degraded part of New York's anyway degraded, but more degraded part of, even the New York people think it's degraded. So, a drunk person, or in that area you could just say a person, If he wasn't drunk, then you would have to say a non-drunk person. Makes it difficult to translate when I use non-English words. I make up words as I go along.
No, it's okay.
So he walked in and babbled some nonsense and put down two rolls of toilet paper and said a little more nonsense and walked out.
During the lecture?
Yeah, during Prabhupada's lecture, that's right. So anyone else would have thought, well, glad he's gone. But Prabhupada saw it. He donated two rolls of toilet paper. His devotional service has begun. From Prabhupada's perspective, toilet paper is completely useless. In one of the letters that he wrote back to India in those early days, as an example of the lack of culture in America, he gave the example that people, after passing stool, they wipe their backsides with toilet paper and they don't take baths. So Prabhupada, he saw that somewhere in the highly covered over consciousness of this drunk, there was some inclination to serve. Even he didn't know what he was doing practically. And that inclination had been directed toward Krishna. And Prabhupada was gracious, or toward Krishna's devotee. And Krishna's devotee was gracious enough to accept it. This is called udara, or magnanimous, broad-minded. Ayam neja paroviti ganana laghu chetasam udara charitanam tu vasundhaiva kutumbakam. That this is mine. That's someone else's. Thinking this kind of calculation is made by those of laghu chetasa, means small-minded or light, but not very deep thinking people. But one who is of udar, this broad-mindedness, he sees the whole world, everyone is my family. Because of the small-mindedness of thinking, I am this body, all the problems of this material world are generated. Jnana vijnana triptatma, we're discussing in this verse, one who is satisfied in himself by virtue of knowledge and realization. But one who thinks, I am the body, he is never satisfied, because he is not jitendriya, and it's also mentioned in this verse, vijitendriya, one who has fully conquered his senses. He is ajitendriya, of uncontrolled senses. And therefore he's constantly agitated by thoughts of how to satisfy his senses. He sees those who help me to satisfy my senses as my friends, and considers those who are causing hindrances to my sense gratification, they are my enemies. So in this material world, in material consciousness, one tends to see others as friends or enemies. That's the famous principle of Machiavellian politics, is to that the state should always be at war or preparing for war or in war consciousness with another state. We'll unite all the citizens against the enemy. You have to make propaganda against the neighboring state, how they're evil and they hate us and we have to kill them, otherwise they'll kill us. Because if you don't do that, if the citizens don't perceive the neighboring state as their enemy and unite in hatred of the neighboring state, then they'll form factions among themselves, or they'll see the present leader as the enemy. Somehow they have to make someone an enemy. There's a Jewish joke about the man who was marooned on a desert island. Maroon means shipwrecked, he was left alone on earth. So being very religious, he built two synagogues. So the one synagogue he attended, and the other one he blaspheme. That you're bogus, you're not properly following the rival synagogue. So a devotee, he rises above provincial consciousness. Well, it's a term, provincial, parochial, it means a small town way of thinking. During World War II, there was one port in England, Hartlepool, and somehow or other, some big gorilla was, I don't know, it escaped from a ship or something like that.
During the Second World
War. Yeah, yeah. So being a small town and people of small consciousness, they didn't know what it was or what to make of it as it was running around the streets. So they thought it must be a German spy. They caught it and lynched it and hung it. Now when we hear, we laugh, we think it's funny. But they were serious. They were sure they were doing a patriotic activity. There'll always be an England. There's a song. There's an always be an England. Of course, during the 1980s, they were afraid that a missile might come from Russia and then there wouldn't be any more England. So, devotees should rise above this provincial consciousness. It goes very deep. During the first Iraq war, when Saddam Hussein, rest in peace, he invaded Kuwait. George Bush Sr., his son is following the good family tradition. George Bush Sr. sent American troops to save Kuwait. So that was just around the time of the Mayapur festival, although I'm sure George Bush didn't know that. So I happened to see one American devotee there who had been following the news, saying very jubilantly, "We smashed them!" Yeah. We smashed them? Who smashed who? We are Americans, they are our enemy. A devotee doesn't see like that. A devotee sees that different people, due to their ignorance, are entangled in material activities. So, Prabhupada, he was first preaching in America during the time of the Vietnam War. And the hippies, who were the people who were mostly responding to Prabhupada, they were outraged about this war. It's wrong. Why are they sending us to... Why are they sending the young men to fight in Vietnam? There were huge anti-war protests. And Srila Prabhupada was preaching Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna doesn't want to fight. He's in illusion. He should fight. You could say it was not a politically correct metaphor, analogy. Prabhupada, he didn't really take sides or anything in should they fight or should they not fight. He just said, well, it's inevitable they have to fight because they're killing animals and then the flowers of their country, the youth, have to be sent to be slaughtered. And he commented that they're sending the young men to fight, but they don't want to fight because they're not trained as kshatriyas, they're just shudras who are interested in indulging their senses. And the present American hegemony over the world is by technology, because I think but if you put American soldiers with Iraqi soldiers and they had the same technology, then one Iraqi could finish off 20 Americans, I'm sure. Because Americans, they're all taking drugs and they don't have any fighting spirit, actually. Srila Prabhupada appreciated the actual Kshatriya spirit, but his modern kind of fighting where, you hide behind someone and shoot them from the back. That's not kshatriya, that's just cowardice. Prabhupada criticized the modern leaders they sit in their office and give instructions, but they push a button and say, go to fight, but they don't fight themselves. So Prabhupada, he wasn't against fighting per se. He said that it's necessary. There must be, the state must employ violence to control the bad elements within the society, and fighting wars, that's sometimes necessary. But he didn't get involved like for America against Russia, or pro-communist against capitalist, or any such thing, which was prominent at that time. Except in the case of India. He didn't want the Pakistan, and when Pakistan attacked India, he said, when the newspaper reporters asked him should they fight or not, they thought he would be supporting non-violence, or some crowd said, yes, of course they should fight, they should smash Pakistan, which they did. Now, is that because Prabhupada's an Indian? Prabhupada is a great pure devotee of Krishna. But he didn't want that. An aggressive government will take over the land and who are promoting all the things against Vedic Dharma. Well, they didn't want, to put it simply, Pakistan, if they took over, then they would, you know, they'd demolish temples, and they're like against Vedic Dharma. So we could take political sides if one side is clearly for Vedic Dharma, Krishna consciousness, and one is clearly against. But we have to be careful not to get sucked into political consciousness or national consciousness or any such thing. It's just like in America, they have the Democrats and the Republicans. So some devotees think, well, it's better to support the Republicans because they believe in religious values, family values, anti-abortion. And some say, no, we should support the Democrats because the Republicans, many of their supporters are fanatically Christian. If they had their way, they'd close down all our temples. So the Republicans will save the babies by stopping abortions. They don't actually do it, but theoretically. But then they'll kill the seals. You know, they won't. They'll allow all the animals to be. The seals and the whales, the environmentalists are trying to save them. And the Democrats will save the whales and kill the babies. And both of them will kill the cows, so. So how do you like your stool, yellow or brown? Transcendental vision is required. To transcend the consciousness of, I belong to this body, I belong to this state. I know in Bengal there are some devotees who, they have very high regard for Rabindranath Tagore, who's a great Bengali poet. And actually, his poetry is something very talented, no doubt, very charming. And he even wrote some things which sound like Vaishnava writings. But he also wrote some very nonsense things about don't do any worship or bhakti. But he's not a self-realized soul, so why have any attachment to him? In the course of my book on, researching my book on Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, I was visiting one Gauriya Math, and I saw in one sannyasi's room he had a picture of Swami Vivekananda, who Bengalis, if you, the average Bengali, if you say anything against Swami Vivekananda, you better be a good runner, because you might not be alive much longer. They're passionately attached to him. Jayapataka Maharaj, once he was lecturing in the Pandal program, like thousands of people in Calcutta. Give me a lecture. And Prabhupada actually told him, don't speak publicly against Ramakrishna, because the people, they won't be able to accept it, even though he's the biggest rascal. So, in Bengal, people all the time, Ramakrishna, Ramakrishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was just like holding it in for years and years. This rascal, he's such a cheater. And one time in a Pandal program, as had happened many times before, someone asked him, what is your opinion of Ramakrishna? And it just kind of all burst out. But he's the biggest cheater. He's spoiled the Vedic culture. You know, he went on and on for several minutes. Wow. And he stopped and everyone was shocked. And he was also shocked. What did I say? So now we're finished. We're going to burn down the pandals. No, really. I mean, it was in Bengal, that would, you know, in West Bengal, if they don't like you, I mean, they do things like that. They'll burn the pandal and maybe with, you know, throw you in too. And then one man who was respected, he stood up and he said in a loud voice to everyone that, well, you know, just let's tolerate this, and they did a nice program, and you know, maybe Swamiji was in a bad mood or something. he pacified them. I got away with that. So anyway, I saw this picture of Swami Vivekananda, and I said to the Gaurya Bhat Sanyasi, he's a Bengali, my background, what are you keeping the picture of that rascal for? He said, no, he's a great person. I said, oh, really? Wow. he's still in Bengali consciousness. He's not in Krishna consciousness. So, we have to, I'm saying again and again, we have to get above this material consciousness. I about 20 years ago, I was told that during the Soccer World Cup, in Brazil, all the devotees will be watching the match on the TV. Maybe they'll be praying to Krishna that Brazil can win. Actually, I remember years ago as a kid watching the World Cup soccer on TV. And when the Brazilian scored a goal, I mean this before I joined the movement. When the Brazilian fellow scored a goal, he got down and he said a prayer. Prayer of thanks to God. Which for us atheistic English people, that was quite a shock. But of course, in Krishna consciousness, what Krishna is teaching in Bhagavad Gita is on a lot higher level than thanking God for scoring a goal. So this very nice question came yesterday, that should we think I am Krishna's or Krishna's is mine? Krishna is mine. When we identify ourselves with Krishna, then we can stop identifying with this material world. When we actually realize that everything here is, everything we see, it's just all temporary. I don't belong here, I belong to Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. Jai Prabhupada told his GBC members, think of the world first and your zone second. Think of the world first and your zone second. To make decisions based on the overall benefit of ISKCON rather than the benefit of, primarily the benefit of what's going on in my area. Srila Prabhupada was very attached to ISKCON. Here with this section of Bhagavad Gita is talking about non-attachment to the material world. And ISKCON is in the material world, and the devotees may be perceived as having various material traits. But Prabhupada saw ISKCON as a purely spiritual organization. The real ISKCON is where everyone is cooperating together to serve the mission of Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. As much as anyone is doing that, they are a member of ISKCON. So, it can be difficult in ISKCON, no doubt. It's still in many ways a very young movement, and it's still a long way from being as ideal as we might expect it to be. But yesterday I was talking about pursuing the ideal. So while we are ourselves in our own spiritual lives trying to aspire for the ideal, we also have to think of how to help to bring ISKCON up to the ideal standard. Sometimes it can be very difficult to do so, because it seems that sometimes it seems like, you know, certain devotees, they don't want to progress toward that ideal. But the least we can do is to ourselves act as ideally as we can and try to associate with devotees who are also aspiring for the ideal. Like I say, Prabhupada, he would appreciate service by anyone. He could be very heavy in his chastisement, but he was very encouraging also. This series of these verses which we've been reading, they talk of someone who is completely detached from the material world. So sadhus, they're detached from all material activities. But a great sadhu like Srila Prabhupada, he was involved in his disciples' lives to help guide them toward Krishna. Prabhupada personally arranged to get his disciples married, some of them, because he thought that would be better in those particular cases for their spiritual advancement. A devotee, he's completely detached from material activities. He doesn't identify with any faction. But he does try to help people to come forward in Krishna consciousness. Of course, as the movement got bigger, then Srila Prabhupada, he couldn't deal personally with every detail of every disciple's life. It simply wasn't possible. Therefore, devotees, Prabhupada expected them to work under the leaders that he had trained. It's a similar situation in Russia nowadays, that there are many devotees, they're spread out all over the country. It's not possible for the gurus to micromanage every detail of their lives, nor is it really the proper thing for them to do anyway. So we have to try to find the association and guidance of senior devotees who know and who trust, or ourselves become, it's also required that we become ourselves mature in understanding the instructions of Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Devotees are coming to me in the darshans and asking for direction in their lives with particular problems and situations. But without knowing all the details of a particular situation, it's not even proper for me in many cases to give anything more than general advice. They may say the situation's like this and I'm not getting on with this devotee or this leader. But then if without hearing from the leader himself who's being complained about, then it would be very unwise for me to advise that any course of action. Sometimes there's a neophyte misconception that the guru, he knows everything. So, whatever he says will be perfect. Whatever the guru says is perfect inasmuch as he speaks according to Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. Whatever he says is perfect because he will always advise you to engage in the service of Krishna. That doesn't necessarily mean that he knows every detail of everyone's life and what they're doing and how they should act. So it can be somewhat difficult, the lack of... There is a lack of qualified devotees to lead and give guidance to others on a local, personal level. But in such circumstances, if someone would say, well, Prabhupada, there's devotees are not up to this level, Prabhupada said, well, you come to that level, you show the example. About 1973, while in Vrindavan, construction of Krishna Balaram temple was going on, it was a very difficult situation for the devotees living there. I mean, nowadays we just go and we see a beautiful temple and we don't know how much difficulty went into raising that structure. So one devotee who was serving there, helping to oversee the construction, He told Prabhupada, Prabhupada, I don't want to stay here. All the devotees, they're so neophant. I don't want to stay with them anymore. Srila Prabhupada said, well, you set the proper example. Don't give up. Don't go away. You set the proper example, and then others can follow. So these are some thoughts about rising above small-mindedness, petty material attachments, and coming to Krishna consciousness. We pray for the blessings of Srila Prabhupada, that Krishna, his name, form, qualities, pastimes, may ever shine within our hearts, and that we rise far beyond all small-minded, petty ways of thinking. Realize that everything here is temporary. I don't belong here. I belong to Krishna. And I'm the servant of those devotees who are so exalted that they can say, Krishna is mine. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Now you have to go and give Krishna to others. Krishna is mine. Who thinks like this? Srimati Radharani. Srimati Radharani comes as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and he distributes Krishna to others. Principally by chanting the holy names of Krishna. So on behalf of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, by his blessings, we'll go out and we'll distribute the name of Krishna and give Krishna to others. And now, on behalf of Srila Prabhupada, I will give Krishna to you in the form of his mercy, otherwise known as prasad. So...